Today on Under the Dome, candidate filing for the March primary election ended earlier this week, and one state senator surprised people by saying he's out. Or is he? Governor Bruce Rauner, the highest-ranking elected official in Illinois, declares he is not in charge of Illinois. And local members of Congress weigh in on the sexual misconduct controversy surrounding U.S. Senator Al Franken, who announced his resignation as we taped our episode today. All this and more on today's episode of Under the Dome.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Dome, the State Journal Register podcast about Illinois state government and politics. I'm Angie Muse, the editor of the State Journal Register. I'm here with Bernie Schoenberg, political writer, and Doug Finke of the State House Bureau. So we'll kick it off. Earlier this week, the filing period ended, and at least one kind of surprise out there, Bernie.
Yeah. I mean, we saw Jeanne Ives file for governor. We knew that would happen, and it was nice and windy, so there was a good picture of her carrying all of her petitions. But the surprise was Sam McCann, who is a state senator, Central Illinois, of I'm pretty sure it's 50th district. There's a guy named Steve McClure, who is endorsed by Sangamon County Republicans, which was an odd and interesting thing because the 50th takes in, I believe it's parts of eight counties. It's a very large district. And the county Republican organization stood with McCann 2 years ago when Governor Rauner was not happy with McCann voting with unions, particularly on the bill that would allow arbitration in solving the contract dispute with AFSCME, the largest state employee union. And Sam McCann beat a candidate that the governor put up or at least supported. So this time, Sangamon County Republicans had gone in a different direction for Steve McClure, whose father, also named Steve, worked in the Thompson administration and still is a consultant for all kinds of, I think, business things, and was in line with his son when they filed. And Sam McCann announced that he was not seeking the GOP nomination for Senate. Now, that raised interesting questions. It looked like he's not running for Senate. He said he doesn't recognize the Republican Party as it was anymore.
He cited the governor's vote on the abortion bill.
Sam claims that he's the true conservative on social issues and that Governor Rauner has gone astray on that, but also talked about, I'm not of the party that I think he said something like hurts working people. We'll see exactly what that means. But again, Sam McCann, because so many state employees work in his district, which includes part of Springfield, he's really sided with unions and government unions in saying let's not do away with collective bargaining for them and do away with their power, which has been a key to what Governor Rauner has sought to do. So the interesting part of this, the surprise is there's been speculation because Sam McCann did not put his name in this primary that holds him open to run as an independent for any office. He could actually run as an independent for Senate and take on young Mr. McClure, who's actually he's not that young, he's in his 30s, is a former prosecutor in Sangamon County. He stepped down from that to campaign full time. So Sam McCann could run for that. There's some contemplation that he could run for governor as an independent. It would be a super long shot, but there's also speculation out there that if there was an independent candidate for governor, that would take enough votes away. If conservatives who like Sam McCann and don't like Bruce Rauner, for example, would get to the general election, assuming that Jeanne Ives doesn't beat Bruce Rauner in the primary as a conservative force, that Sam McCann could take enough votes away to help a Democrat win. So,
and what's the process for getting on the ballot as an independent? He'd be able to watch and wait and see what happens with the primary, correct?
Yeah. The independents, they do have to collect five times the number of signatures to get on the ballot for offices, for statewide offices, as regular party candidates who have to face primaries. So instead of 5,000 valid signatures for governor, for example, it takes 25,000. But they don't file until a period in June. I believe it's the 18th to the 25th. So And they can just get directly on the ballot unless there's an objection to their petition signatures and they get forced off the ballot. Given the number of signatures required, such attempts often fall flat because somebody challenges or files an objection and they cannot pass muster. There's lots of lawyers involved. It's amazing how exacting you have to be when you do one of these petition drives. On the other hand, if there is a strong force, let's say union folks would somehow decide to help Sam McCann circulate ballot or petitions across the state, you could do it and you'd probably get good signatures.
Okay. And then when the filing ended, we have a very crowded attorney general's race with 8 Democrats and 2 Republicans, and probably the most notable names out there on the Republican side, the party's gotten behind Erica Harold, who's a lawyer from Champaign-Urbana area, mm-hmm. Harvard Law, Miss America.
Right.
And she drew an opposition candidate. And then on the Democrat side, probably the biggest name is former Governor Quinn.
Right. And you have a number of other candidates, including Scott Drury, who's a state representative who ran for governor for a while. But Kwame Raoul is considered a heavy hitter in this field, too. He is a state senator. He took Barack Obama's state Senate seat. He's worked on things like criminal justice reform, and he also has the backing of, I know, a county down in the St. Louis area, but he has the Cook County Democratic Party on his side, which is quite significant. So we'll see where that goes. You know, some other people include the mayor of Highland Park, Nancy Rotering, and a guy named Renato Mariotti, who's on MSNBC all the time, who's, again, a former federal prosecutor, I believe, and attacks President Trump a lot. So it's kind of wide open, but the Quinn name and the backing that Kwame Raoul has from Cook County, they seem to be near the top of this field.
All right. Any other races of note that you see shaping up?
Well, certainly in our area, there's the 13th Congressional District where Rodney Davis, Rodney Davis is a Republican member of Congress. It's a large district. It's got all our parts of 14 counties. He really has solidified his base over time. But when he first ran, after Tim Johnson stepped aside as a candidate and Rodney Davis ran in 2012, he only beat Dr. David Gill of Bloomington by about 1,000 votes, which was, it was about within the 51% range to 49, something of that nature. So it's actually considered a 50-50 district. I heard someone I went to a Democratic committee call meeting, and somebody was saying, hey, this district is actually a little bit on the Democratic side. Let's beat Rodney Davis. There are now 5 candidates against him. One of them is Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan from Springfield. There's a guy named Eric Jones from Edwardsville, John Ebel from Urbana, Dr. David Gill, and there was another candidate, I can't recall her name immediately, but who is from Springfield, who has run for a thing or two. But given the controversy involving President Trump, given the fact that it is widely thought that this will possibly be a good Democratic year in response to things the Republican Congress has tried to do and things that President Trump does, it's kind of energized the Democrats, unions and beyond, certainly a lot of Democratic women have been stepping up, and there are new organizations that have helped people the demonstrations for health care and against the tax plan, et cetera. So it's going to be a pretty intense race, I think.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of national money coming in on that one on both sides, possibly. Yeah. So, but moving on to the video clip that I think we're going to see about probably a million times or so by the November 2018, the governor in Chicago had an interesting statement, I'm not in charge. Can you give us some background on that?
Kind of an interesting comment from the top statewide elected official in the state. But, I mean, this is a continuation of a theme that he's had since he's been in office, that Madigan is the real problem and is the cause of the state's problems. And I believe he was trying to make that point again. Unfortunately, this time, when he was questioned about it, it came out that, well, I'm not in charge. Madigan's the one pulling all the strings here, basically, which is not the kind of thing you want to hear a governor say, even if he believes that Madigan is the guy who's thwarting his agenda.
Well, and we've actually already today on Thursday seen it pop up. J.B. Pritzker put out an ad this morning with the clip in it already.
This is going to be played until people are sick of it. But it's not just the Democrats. Even a Republican, Jeannie Ives, jumped on this immediately and said the problem is not with the powers of the office. It's because there's a weak guy sitting in the office.
Yeah, you're right. So actually, she was the first one to jump on it.
Right. So, I mean, he's going to get it from both sides on this thing. And the day after he made that comment, he was at another appearance, and he was basically given a chance to kind of walk back away from the statement. But he didn't. And what he ended up doing then is saying that he believes that Madigan is going to be out of office, or at least out of the speakership, which means that either A, the Republicans are going to pick up 9 seats in the House during this next election, which is an extraordinarily large number of seats to change in any election, or B, he's counting on a number of rank-and-file Democrats to simply abandon the speaker and vote for someone else for speaker, which I think is also pretty much a long shot.
That would be a long shot, yeah. Yeah, and I think he's probably, what's behind the remark is, realistically, legislation will not pass without Madigan. He has the votes to block things.
Well, and Madigan has blocked things, but also gotten things done with in the more than 30 years that he's been around. And I think Speaker, it's more than 30. He's had 3 Republican governors. They've had state budgets every year. There have been frustrations. Rod Blagojevich hated Madigan and talked down about him a lot. So Governor Rauner has run into the same kind of frustration. But he's also, I think, taken political tacks that are very – or a political tack that's very odd. And I think we, you know, through my column for et cetera, you point these things out from the beginning. He has continued to attack Madigan and called him corrupt ever since he's been in office.
Right. It's been a confrontational relationship,
right, so
from the start.
Most governors, you know, you as Governor Jim Edgar famously has said, and in a criticism of Governor Rauner, that, you know, there's a time to campaign and there's a time to govern, and stop the campaigning for a while, get your stuff done, work with people. You know, one of the reactions to the governor's I Am Not in Charge speech this week was a short statement from President Cullerton of the Senate saying, I'm willing to work with the governor, I'm willing to work without the governor, but in 70 days he has another budget to propose. He hasn't proposed a balanced one yet, according to Cullerton, and outside observers, I think, would agree with that assessment. But he says, there hasn't been a meeting of the governor and 4 leaders for a year, because Governor Rauner called some meetings, then he didn't like the way Madigan was acting or not talking or staying in the corner, and then he came out and said, I can't work with him. And then, you know, he spends periodically time running television ads saying or making speeches how terrible Madigan is, but he's not trying to work with him and trying to beat him. The other thing about this theory, however, that he could beat Madigan or have him not be speaker next year, even if that's the case, the state Senate still has one of the largest Democratic majorities in America. So without a Republican Senate as well as a Republican House, so the Republican House is very unlikely. Republican Senate is basically impossible to get. So you'd still have another body to get through. I'm sure the governor thinks, well, they're more reasonable. But that doesn't mean you get what you want if you're confronting people all the time.
Well, and outside of that, I mean, even if Madigan somehow would not be speaker again, who exactly does he think the House Democrats are going to select as a speaker, as a replacement speaker? It's not going to be someone who embraces the governor's agenda. They are still Democrats. They have their philosophies on things. And
I still think, and he has told Republican groups, we're going to win those 9 seats. He actually said 8 once, but
and
he meant 9.
If,
the thing is,
Order.
Trump, it's a giant order. They won a few seats last time. They won
4,
four in the House and, 2 in the Senate. But there are still overwhelming majorities, if not, you know, it's not veto-proof in the House anymore, but it's still overwhelming or strong. You know, and as Doug said, 9 seats is a lot to win, especially when you're going to have so many energized Democrats because of President Trump.
You're going to have energized Democrats, and you're still going to have a Democratic map. I mean, that's the bottom line, is this map was still drawn to favor Democrats. And until we get until the time the Republicans draw the map, and then we could see a big change in seats, but for now, 9's a lot.
Right, you're alluding to the fact that, you know, the redistricting process right now is pretty much determined by, you know, whichever party's in power at the time.
Right.
And as a side note, you know, that's an ongoing perennial issue here in Illinois with the groups that want to try to change the process to make it less political and have so far not had any success in getting that done.
Right. And as Doug pointed out, the map that we're under was drawn by Democrats after the last census, but one of Governor Rauner's arguments why we have to elect more Republicans is because, and why I have to be elected as governor,
right,
and
Gene Ives is to change that map.
Is because that would get a Republican. He wants a Republican governor to be there to veto a likely Democratic map again, so that they at least get thrown to a negotiation or a lottery to see which side wins.
All right. Well, there actually has been some governing and some financial issues coming up this week, but also tinged with politics. Doug, you want to talk about the contracts that are coming under controversy?
Yeah, there was a couple of consulting contracts that were no-bid consulting contracts that were given to McKinsey & Company. And these were to help out with the state's process of implementing the Medicaid managed care expansion that is going on, and that has its own controversies. But one of the contracts for nearly $13 million specifically was for McKinsey to assist with pending litigation issues or something to that effect.
Anticipated litigation.
Okay. Anyway, the state's chief procurement officer looked at the provisions of this contract and what it was supposed to accomplish, and determined that, in fact, it was not something that really had much to do with anticipated litigation. And, in fact, it was a contract that should have been bid and put out for competitive bid. So then you select the lowest qualified bidder from that. That's not what happened in this case. The chief procurement officer stepped in this last week and voided that contract with McKinsey. And subsequently, the comptroller's office determined that there was another contract with McKinsey that was very similar in nature, and on her own decided there was not going to be any further payments made on it. The irony of this whole thing is that this was done under powers that apparently were granted to the procurement officer under a reform package that the governor insisted be passed this last spring. It was one of the few things on his legislative agenda that the legislature actually went along with. So they passed it, and one of the consequential fallout from that is this contract got voided.
And I did read on Capital Facts before the show today that the governor's blaming Mike Madigan for getting to Ellen Daly, the procurement officer, which kind of is, I guess you'd have to question exactly how that happened.
So this is, you know, definitely something that we have not seen before.
Well, considering in the entire history of the state, I don't know. At least
it's not something
this
you
is
see
the
every
first
day.
Time since they revamped the procurement process this last spring.
Okay. So. Well, we'll see what happens with that one. And then as we wrap up, one of these just in was words come out this morning that U.S. Senator Al Franken says he will resign in coming weeks. And, you know, we have an Illinois connection on that in terms of our senator's role.
Sure. Obviously, with all of the sexual harassment and inappropriate sexual conduct allegations flying around the country, cover of Time magazine, you know, cementing that by talking about the people who have come forward to make these allegations finally, and seems to be a shift. Al Franken, there's just been a trickle of more allegations against him, and when it reached, I believe it was 7 people who said, you know, either unwanted kisses or the dumb picture he took on an airplane with somebody he was in a show, I think a USO show with. He had initially said he was terribly sorry, but he admitted doing wrong in the past and he would be better. People stuck with him. But then I believe Senator Gillibrand, a woman from New York, was among those who came out saying, now it's time for Al to go. And basically this weekend, and it was Wednesday, a cascade of Democratic senators all said it was more than 15, including Senators Duckworth and Durbin from Illinois, saying, okay, we love Al, but it's time to go. What he did was wrong, and he needs to be replaced. Now, this is easy. This comes just a week before Roy Moore election, the alleged person who was dating or worse with teenagers back 30 or 40 years ago, who is fighting to win election as a Republican senator from Alabama. So that's next week. For Democrats to call on one of their own, Al Franken, to resign is somewhat safe in the sense that there's a Democratic governor of Minnesota. So when Franken does resign, the replacement named will be a Democrat, so they don't lose a seat.
Okay. All right. So that wraps up this week's Under the Dome. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Please be sure to subscribe. And as always, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with the latest in Illinois politics and state government.